This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest is a New York Rangers legend. If it wasn't for Stephane Matteau, the Rangers would never have won the Stanley Cup in 1994, ending many years of frustration for fans and players. Matteau scored two overtime goals in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Devils, including one that is forever known as Matteau, 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 the iconic call of Howie Rose, as Stephane's goal at 4:24 of the second overtime in Game 7 propelled the Blue Shirts into the Stanley Cup Finals, and eventually after beating Vancouver would give the Rangers the Stanley Cup Championship. But there's so much more to Stephane Matteau. He's now helping students and many others, and that's why he joins us on Sports Jam. Stephane, what a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It sounded so good the way you said it. That was well said. Thank you very much. I get goosebumps just to hear it, even though it's been 30 years. Thank you very much.
Kutisov for the Devils plays it cross ice into the far corner. Matteau swoops in to intercept. Matteau behind the net. Swings it in front. He scores! Matteau! 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 Defend Matteau! And the Rangers have one more hill to climb, baby! But it's Moose Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
And I understand you didn't hear Howie's call for a long time after you got that goal, right?
That's a good point. We went on strike after we won the Stanley Cup. I went home in Montreal, and we didn't have the internet back then. We didn't have cell phones, iPads. So I didn't hear any of his calls. So when we came back after Christmas the following year, someone came up to me, and I was taking pictures with that individual over and over, and it was Howie. And I asked him after a while, I said, why am I taking pictures with you over and over? He goes, well, I'm the guy who made the call. And I'm like, what call? And he looked at me like I was joking, but I wasn't joking at all. And then I found out about his iconic call on the radio. And after that, we became friends, and we still hear the call 30 years later. But it took me a few months to finally meet him in person.
That's crazy how times have changed, right, with technology and everything. You would have heard it that night. There's so much more, as I mentioned, to Stephane Matteau, and he's going to be featured in an event celebrating the 30th anniversary of that Game 7 double overtime game winner against the Devils in 1994. And this event will include a panel discussion with broadcaster Howie Rose and your New York Ranger teammates, Mike Richter. His mask is behind me, miniature. As well as Adam Graves, both teammates of you on the Stanley Cup champion team. Also joining is your lifelong friend, Pierre Turgeon, who was a star for the Islanders, and Jim Dowd with the Devils. They're all taking part in this panel discussion to talk about their memories of the 94 Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll talk about those memories in a moment. The proceeds for the ticket sales and the auction memorabilia and the packages will benefit the Stephane Matteau Foundation and Mount Sinai Hospital's Department of Urology with Bladder Cancer Research. That's on behalf of Howie Rose. Let's talk about the Stephane Matteau Foundation first of all. Stephane, tell us why you created it and why you're so passionate about it.
I'm very passionate about what I created years ago, but when I retired 22 years ago, I didn't know what to do after retirement. And I tried different things over and over and over, and I was asked to do a program in Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, for the first time. And I felt that I was good at it and to help out some kids. And my program went on to move forward to New York City. And now I'm in about 25 schools in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Queens, North Rockland. I'm all over the place now in around New York. So, and by talking to the principals and the teachers and the superintendent over the years, find out that the kids and the families need some help. Even though the kids that I try to help, they have a beautiful smile in the morning, find out some of them are starving. Some of them only have one t-shirt on their back, one pair of jeans, and they are being bullied over and over because they don't fit in most of the time. And I'm very sensitive. I was bullied when I was a kid. I had a very low self-esteem of myself. And by talking to those kids, I find out there's more, and there's more for me to help. And I create that program. The money goes to, we want to raise money so I can buy, my wife and I can buy t-shirts to the kids. We can buy toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant or anything. We can buy also program for the kids. Most likely that those kids, they don't get invited to be in those programs. So there's a lot of stuff that we are doing. I want to help over the years. I've been helping and I want to keep going. So that's why I'm asking people by using my platform from the 1994 to raise more money to help more families.
Let's go back to your childhood a little bit. You suffered from anxiety, bullying, and your dad was hard on you, wanting you to be the best that you could be. And now you have turned out, you've written a book that helps kids. You connect to kids now. I've heard you talk about, yeah, you were hard on your son when he was growing up, your son and your daughter both playing professional hockey, but you have learned so much about yourself through the years. And now you're passing along that knowledge to kids. And I think it's wonderful because when we think of hockey stars, we don't think about them being bullied when they were younger or have anxiety. We're learning more and more, though, that great athletes all have issues at home. They're just like everybody else, right, Stefan?
That's a good point. You did your homework. Thank you. I struggle. I'm not ashamed of it. I've been sober for 22 years, and I use that, not that platform, but I shared my story years ago. And by communicating with other people, I can help people. I can help a group. I can help hundreds of people along the way. So I'm not ashamed of it. My dad was really hard. He always pushed me. I was one of those, maybe not the lazy kids, but I always wanted to have fun on the ice. And my dad saw so much potential in me. He didn't accept it when I was going 50%. So that part I understand over the years, that he was hard on me because he saw full potential. He wanted me to push myself every single day. So when I promised myself the day I'm going to have a kid, a son or a daughter, I will never repeat the same thing. And I end up being worse. I think I end up being worse than my dad. And I was really hard on Steph Jr. over the years, not so on my daughter, but I was really hard on Steph. And my wife at the time says, you better stop, because when he'll turn 18, he's going to have a choice to go to his girlfriend's place, or he won't be coming home to a negative environment. That really changed my attitude about it, which I love my kids. I love my grandkids, and I changed my attitude. And ever since that moment, I went along and encouraged him only positive things to say, or if I didn't have any positive things, I would keep my mouth shut at some point. But I tried to teach the kids over the years that even athletes, even professional athletes, entertainment, singers, go through some tough times in life. I struggle with anxiety. When I didn't prepare myself for an exam or a practice or a game, I had a lot of anxiety. I was always always seeing the negative outcome. I always see myself getting my butt kicked on the ice. If I play against the Flyers or in Boston, I was scared a lot of times. So, and the bullying, I didn't have any tools to defend myself growing up. So I was an easy target for a lot of those bullier out there. So I've noticed there's a lot of kids who go through the same thing. I try to support them. It's like a group therapy. When I sit down with the 20, 25 kids in the classroom, I try to use like an environment where they feel safe to share. I make sure even there's some bullier in the classroom, I try to support them also. So there's a lot more things to say about it, but I try to create something positive, and I think it's a very good positive thing for the kids.
Certainly is. And for you, that safe zone was either in the locker room or on the ice.
Yeah, everywhere. The safe zone, I had some jealousy in the locker rooms growing up, and the kids were jealous of our talent. Pierre was a very talented, Turgeon was a very talented, we grew up together, we played in the same team, he was very, very talented, I was very talented, but there's some kids out there who were jealous of our talent, and they tried to demolish us by using the words, I never get pushed aside, but I think the kids were using their words, which really affected me growing up. I didn't want to go to practice at times, I didn't want to get off the bus, because the guy wanted to beat me up after school. And I find out there's a lot of kids out there in the Bronx, in New York, or in the United States, or in Canada, they're going through the same thing. So we try to establish a communication, what to do if those experiences occur to you, by talking to someone. That's why it's important to have good friends and good communication with the teachers, your parents, and the principal in school that they can communicate. So it's very powerful message. It's magical when we are in the classroom, and I try to start the conversation, but the kids, they don't know it. They are helping each other. And once the session is over, they become a team. I see them 4 or 5 different times in a 3 or 4 months period. And the kids, they have a team now when they walk into the school. And that's why I wanted to create now. You're not alone. I try to tell them, you're not alone. You can talk to me. You can talk to someone. And I think it's been very impactful that way.
You know, what's really interesting is the fact that you were a tremendous athlete at that time. And so many people are jealous of others. And that's a lot of time where bullying comes into effect. Growing up in Quebec, not only were you super talented on the ice, you and Pierre Turgeon also played baseball and were on the Little League World Series team together. So you guys really had the ability. That doesn't mean that you're immune to others and how you can be impacted. Let's talk about this event that's coming up. Yep. It's an important one because it does raise money for, as you mentioned, your foundation and for Mount Sinai.
What a game. You'll note the time, 4:24 of the second sudden death overtime period. Stephane Matteau, who scored from just in front of Martin Brodeur to win game 3 in double overtime, able to wrap it around with a commotion in front of the Devils' net to give the Rangers a 2-1 win. They win game 7. The handshakes continue at center ice.
When you think about 1994, you've been asked millions of times about that goal. Now looking back 30 years later, what's the thing that pops into your mind the most? When I was going over, you know, how you maneuvered your body, how you were actually going to try to stuff it in on one side, and then you kind of got hooked, and that forced you to go to the other side, but you did it. You tell us.
Well, you did your homework. That's the old school of hockey. We were allowed to hook back then. Today, that would be a penalty right away. So I tried to go around. I did not have a plan because of Scott Niedermeyer hooked me. My body kind of switched towards facing the front of the net. And to be honest, I'd never seen ticking in front of the net. I did not see a teammate in front of the net. And people over the years said, well, I saw maybe a 4 or 5 inches hole to put the puck in. It's never been the case. I was almost forced to put the puck in front of the net. And to my surprise, to a lot of people's surprise, it hit Marty Brodeur's glove and went between his legs. So the rest is history. That's why I try to teach the kids. You don't need to be the greatest player on the team. You don't need to be the best player on your team to do something magical. As long as you put the effort in, that's what I did. I practiced hard. I was on one of the best team ever, and I accomplished something pretty special. We still talk about it 30 years later.
It's almost justice when you think about your life, right? That this would happen to you because you put the work in, you dealt with all kinds of issues. You dealt with others either being hard on you or bullying to get this iconic goal and score it against one of the greatest, if not the greatest goaltenders of all time, Martin Brodeur, right? I have a little bit of Marty behind me there, his sign puck. But see, I try to keep the theme going here, Stefan, as we go here. I have the Buffalo Buttes jersey because your daughter, Allison, played for the Buttes at one point. But this goal has meant so much to Ranger fans over the years. Yeah. What has been the most interesting comment you've ever got from a fan when they meet you?
It's a good... There's more than one word. Like, it's been 30 years. It took me, I played another 7-8 years after I scored that iconic goal. It took me a few years in Montreal to sink in and to relax. But ever since I came back as an alumni in New York, I realized the impact I had on many, many, many fans. And every time I go to Madison Square Garden, it's magical. I hug 70-year-old man who cries in my arm. And I would have been uncomfortable 20 years ago, but I get it today. I think I'm a great ambassador for that moment. I think I'm very generous with the fans. I'm very generous with strangers, but we're not strangers. They're hockey fans. They're Ranger fans. Come up to me, and they just share with me. That's my every single day. That's what happened every single day. I'm at the Garden. The people come up to me. They tell me where they were sitting, their row, and and who they were sitting with, or where they watch it. It's an event that people will never forget. And I'm very fortunate. I'm always at the Garden. I'm often at the Garden, and people scream my name over and over and over. And sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes it's get very emotional. If whatever happens in my life, I get emotional, but I do turn around and I shake everyone's hand, because I've learned over the years with Adam Graves how he conducts himself at the Garden. You know, you have good friends, good mentor, and Adam's been incredibly. He helps me along the way without knowing it, how to handle that moment with the fans at the Garden. So that's why I was so happy when I asked him to join the panel on May 23rd that he accepted right away. So I'm looking forward for that great moment.
Yeah, that will be a special event, and we'll tell you how to get there in just a moment. But when you think about your teammates on that great team, Mike Richter and Adam Graves, as you mentioned, and Mark Messier, legends now forever. But some people, like my friend Ken Downey Jr., is a Rangers fan who wasn't old enough to enjoy the 94. He's waiting for a Stanley Cup championship in his lifetime, and he hopes it's this year. He wanted me to ask you, the curse of the President's Trophy, will that affect the Rangers in the playoffs?
I don't think so. They had such a good season. They kept the new coaching staff, a new vision this year, almost the same players, and they are playing freely. They're moving the puck as good as I've seen. They are healthy, minus Wheeler. But they are the curse. I don't believe in the curse. To win the Stanley Cup, I think it's the hardest trophy to win. You have to face a very good team in the first round, even a better team in the second and third, and finally in the final. So there's a lot of good teams are going through exactly the same thing that the Rangers are doing now. But I believe in their chances this year. As long as their goaltender keeps the goals against two and under per game, they're going to have a good chance to win. So, but they have a very good chance. The curse, it took us 54 years to win the next one. Hopefully they won't wait that long, because I want to experience one as an alumni and also as a big fan of the New York Rangers. So, but I'm looking forward to go to the playoff and to encourage the Rangers this year.
Here comes the manager for Friday. He scores! Oh, what a beauty!
Yeah, they certainly have a great team this year. We'll see how it all turns out. You know, a lot of people think, when they think of Stephan Matteau, they think of that one goal. But you played 13 seasons in the National Hockey League, and you scored 141 goals. And so there's so much in it. It almost reminds me of the Pirates' Bill Mazeroski. He's known for that home run to beat the Yankees in the 60 World Series, but had a great career. Does it bother you at all, the fact that you had these other, seasons with other teams and whatnot, but primarily remember as the Ranger legend?
It took me years. That's a very good point. You have very good questions. It took me years I got traded to St. Louis, and then I heard, well, he's Mr. Overtime. He's going to help the Blues to go to the next round. Then I got traded to St. Never Delivered. Then I went to San Jose for 5 years, and then the frustration, I was very hard on myself. I was never able to produce the same amount of excitement that occurred May 27, 1994. It's almost unfair, but I've looking back at a 13-year career. If people remember me as the person who scored a goal in 1994, that'll be it. I'm proud of my career. I beat myself up too many years. Now I'm comfortable with myself. I accepted the fact that I've played 13 years. I'm very content with that, and the rest is up to the fans. But I don't care about what the fans says. I'm very content with what I'm going through now, right now.
Yeah, and you're going through something else that's pretty cool. You're a grandfather. How's that been for you?
Awesome. There, my son just came back from Cleveland. Spent time with my grandson, 4 years old, with his practice a few days ago, and I was totally a different as a father now as a grandfather. Totally a different set of eyes looking at my grandson playing, and only had positive things to say. And I'm going to continue that way. And my granddaughter Ella, was her second birthday a few days ago, and just a great moment to see my son happy with his wife and a beautiful family. They just purchased a home in Cleveland, and they to support them, to be with them, it's there's nothing better.
You've changed so much, right? This has been a journey for Stephon Matteau, from your early childhood days to you being a dad after, you know, your great hockey career. Your dad, your son gets drafted by the team that you beat on that goal, the yeah. Devils, right? And now you have progressed as a grandfather. When you look back, what was the moment you think that you truly changed into the person who you want to be?
The day, that's another good question. You're going to make me cry here. The day that I raised my hand 22 years ago, I said, I need some help. And I get the help came right away. And a lot of people are suffering out there with addictions, whether it's drugs, alcohol, gambling, and so on and so on. And I that day really changed. I came up like I kind of made peace with my past. And I was looking, now I'm looking forward to spend a good day. Now today I'm talking to you. I think that changed my life, that day. So 22 years ago, the peace, feel better about myself, and having grandkids also helped. And I'm in peace with myself today. I'm feeling pretty good.
You and Pierre go back so long ago. How's that relationship developed through the years?
We've been friends since the age of 4 or 5 years old, growing up in Noranda, Quebec. We played the organized hockey since the age of 7, and then they separate the talent. So I always played against him. And Pierre came into the league at 18. I came in later on as a 20-year-old. Their friendship always been the same. I would say it's even stronger. Well, Sue and I, my wife and I, we moved to West Palm Beach, Florida, because Pierre and Elizabeth are in Florida, in West Palm. And they, we just came back from the Master a few weeks ago. But the friendship's always been there. Pierre is one of my mentor, best friend, someone that keeps me in peace. Pierre is very grounded. I was always the wild one in the group. Always the one who wanted to make people laugh. And Pierre was always the grounded one. So our friendship's always been very, very strong. And so we're going to keep going. So,
and I'm so glad that Matteau was you, because you are an inspiration to so many others now. And the event coming up on May 23rd, it runs from 5 until 10 in the evening. It's at the Angel Orensanz Foundation. That's 172 Norfolk Street in New York City. Once again, it will be Stephon Matteau, Howie Rose, Mike Richter, Adam Graves, Jim Dowd, and Pierre Turgeon taking part in a panel discussion to talk about their memories of the 94 Stanley Cup playoffs.
And people can reach out to my wife or myself, sue@matteau32.com or stephon@matteau32.com. And we'll respond right away, and we'll send you the flyer for that evening. So if a lot of people will hopefully will come up, but we're going to send them the flyers. They will be able to sign up on that on our email, on the flyer.
Can you tell us a little bit about the memorabilia that might be going? Because I'm sure people are going to want to know. Are there going to be Stephon Matteau items there?
There's going to be jerseys. We have special edition Matteau jerseys. We're going to have the patch to celebrate the 30th year. We never done that before. Ranger players. I got a few Lundqvist jersey signed, Turgeon signed, Richter Graves, Jimmy Dowd signed jerseys, and there's a few golf. I love golfing, so people will have an opportunity to come golf with me at Bethpage Black, at Sabonic, Country Club, Liberty Nationals, and many other country clubs that I have friends who belongs there. So a lot of different places that we can play golf or come see a New York Ranger game with me. I don't think people experienced that with me yet. So we have a few packages. People will go to dinner the night before or the night of the game, and I'm going to go around the tour of the Madison Square Garden with me. So there's a lot of packages that people can bid on. So looking forward to that.
Give Sue my best and have a happy Mother's Day for her, and enjoy the kids and the rest of the Stephan Matteau journey, which is the foundation and the event coming up that you don't want to miss. Stanley Cup champion, but even a better person is Stephan Matteau. Thanks so much for joining us on Sports Gen.
Thank you.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can hear all the past shows by going to WBGO.org/SportsJam or WBGO.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Sammy Steinlight for hooking us up with Stephan Matteau. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.